and the meditation of my heart and all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, in Jesus' name. Amen. The BBC series, Who Do You Think You Are?, is a popular television series where famous people research their family history. Family trees give people a sense of identity, and in a world maybe of increasing social mobility, it helps to ground people in who they are and where they came from and who exactly their ancestors were. Tonight, as we turn to Matthew's Gospel, we turn to a Gospel that begins with a family tree. I don't know about you, but if I were writing up a history of Jesus Christ, I probably wouldn't begin with a family tree. And yet that's where Matthew begins, and that's where the New Testament begins, with the family tree of the Savior. For you and me, coming to Matthew's Gospel, we might be tempted to jump over what to us is just a list of names. I wonder, as I was reading them, was there anyone thinking, I wish he would just get these over with? Because it is just like reading, for us, a telephone book. But that would be a mistake, for these names are here for a reason, and we would be the poorer if we ignored them. This is not, after all, anyone's family tree. This is the family tree of Jesus Christ, says verse 1, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The first thing that I want to point out to you this evening is that in this chapter, the first name that comes in verse 1 is the name of Jesus Christ. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, says verse 1. Names mean many things. The name Jesus is a human name. It's the equivalent of Joshua in the Old Testament, and it simply means God saves. And that's a major clue as to the mission of Jesus Christ. God saves. And then Christ means anointed one. In the Old Testament, kings and prophets and priests were anointed with oil to mark them out, but Jesus was going to be anointed with God the Holy Spirit, the anointed one. So Matthew is bringing together here at the start of his book the two names of Christ, the human name of Christ and the divine name of Christ. Jesus is the human name. Christ is the divine name. Here is one he is setting out, fully human and fully divine. There is no one greater than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has no superiors, only inferiors. Hence, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I always love the story of John Calvin, the great theologian of the Reformation. Calvin was a great theologian, a great preacher, a great writer of books, commentaries, and sermons, and so on. So many ways the city of Geneva was turned around by his ministry there. But when he died, he gave strict orders that he was to be buried in an unmarked grave, because he didn't want anybody to be going to the grave of John Calvin and treating it as a shrine, because for John Calvin, it was all about the glory of God, not about the glory of John Calvin. And that's why Matthew, when he begins this account of the life of Jesus Christ, he says this is a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The name of Christ is first because Jesus Christ is first. And in our churches and in our lives, the name of Christ always must be first. It's never about you and it's never about me. It's never about anybody really. It's all about Christ. He is the one who is first. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Secondly, let me go on to say that there are some unexpected names in this family tree of Jesus Christ. Usually family trees are traced through the men as head of the house, but there are five women named here in the family tree of Christ. Verse 3, for example, mentions a woman called Tamar, who in Genesis chapter 38 pretended to be a prostitute and got pregnant by her father-in-law. Verse 5 mentions Rahab, who was a prostitute and a Gentile to boot. Verse 5 mentions Ruth, again a Gentile. Verse 6 mentions the wife of Uriah, who was Bathsheba, an adulterous one-night stand for King David. And verse 16 mentions Mary, of whom Jesus was born. Five women. Unless you think I'm picking on the women, the men weren't too great either. Solomon, for example, mentioned in verse 6 and 7, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 mistresses. Uzziah is mentioned in verse 9. Uzziah, the king, offered strange fire on God's altar and was struck down with leprosy. Manasseh, in verse 10, practiced child sacrifice. We sometimes refer to a family member as the black sheep in the family. But it seems to me that the family tree of Jesus Christ had more than one black sheep. So many of them were black sheep, all sinners, great and small. And yet at the head of this family tree is Jesus Christ. No matter what their history, no matter what their background, no matter what their sin was, he came to be their Savior. There's a lovely verse in the book of Hebrews where it is said of Christ, in Hebrews 2 and verse 11, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. And for proof of that, you've only to think about what happened at the cross. Jesus was crucified on the middle cross. He had a robber to the left and he had a robber to the right. Two criminals, Jesus in the middle. As Isaiah said, he was numbered with the transgressors. Did it embarrass him? Would you be embarrassed to be caught hanging around with a group of criminals in Ballymoney? People saw you. Would you be embarrassed? Well, Jesus wasn't embarrassed, for he saved one of the robbers right at the death and added his name to the book of life. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And his name coming first here is saying that here are the sinners he saved. Let me give you the list of them. This is his family tree. The third thing I want to draw out about the family tree of Jesus Christ is the fountainhead of it all, to which Matthew draws our attention in verse 1, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Abraham is the earliest person mentioned in this genealogy. A few years ago, we were in the German city of Munich, and the great river that flows through the city is the river Isar. But about 100 miles away from the city, 100 miles south, you can walk up a forest track to the source of the river Isar. It's a long walk. And when you get to the top of the walk, there's a spring, and the sign says, Source of the River Isar. And this spring is coming up out of the ground. The spring becomes a stream, which becomes a river, which becomes an even bigger river 100 miles away as it flows through the city. And that's why Matthew here is taking us back to Abraham, because Abraham is the spring. Abraham is remembered in the Bible for his faith. Paul calls him in Romans 4 the father of the faithful, and in Galatians 3 the father of all who believe. Abraham, remember, was given a word from God. And Abraham believed the Lord, says Genesis 15, and God counted it to him as righteousness. Abraham wasn't righteous. You read the story of Abraham. He told lies. But God counted it to him as righteousness. His belief in his word. He took God at his word. He trusted that word. And Abraham became the father of the faithful, as he is called. And let's remind ourselves that Abraham lived in a world of many faiths, just as we live in a world of many faiths. Even Prince Charles has brought this into the public notice for a few years ago. He declared he didn't want to be defender of the faith, as his mother promised to be a defender of the faith, as enshrined in the 39 Articles of the Church of England. But Prince Charles said he wants to be defender of faith. Any type of faith, whatever it is, he'll just defend faith. But this opening of Matthew's gospel takes us all the way back to Abraham, and it says to us there is only actually one faith. There's only one true faith, the faith that Abraham displayed when he took God at his word and trusted that word. And God counted it to him as righteousness. If your faith isn't Abraham's faith, then it isn't faith at all. It's fake faith. And one day it will fall through and it will let you down. The Shorter Catechism, question 86, asks, what is faith in Jesus Christ? And it answers, faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon Jesus Christ alone for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel. Lots of people say they have faith. Muslims have faith. Buddhists have faith. Lots and lots of people have faith. Jehovah's Witnesses have faith. Mormons have faith, and so on. Lots and lots of people have faith. But have they received and rested upon Jesus Christ alone for salvation as he is offered to them in the gospel? Because that's what the people, many of these people in this genealogy of Jesus Christ, by faith Abraham obeyed the word of God. By faith Sarah conceived. By faith Rahab hid the spies. By faith Mary and Joseph called his name Jesus, the name given by the angel. People who took God at his word, and their faith was counted to them as righteousness. And that river of faith has flowed all the way through human history. It amazes me, you know, verse 17, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. 3 14s. Abraham was a pilgrim. David was in the palace. Then there was the prison of Babylon, and then eventually the last prophet, Jesus Christ, arrived. From pilgrim to palace to prison to prophet, the prophet. This span of the generations, as God's purposes are being worked out, this great flow of faith, this river of faith through human history. And sometimes it's been only a trickle. Sometimes it's been a flood. But the river of God is flowing. It's full of water. The question is whether you have plunged into it or not. For there's a flow in this generation. Abraham to Isaac, to Jacob, to David, to Solomon, to Joseph, to Mary, and then to Peter, to Paul, to Matthew, to James, to Andrew. And across the centuries today, this river of faith is flowing. The just, remember, shall live by their faith. And sometimes it's a trickle. And sometimes it's a flood. If you go down to the Givi River today or tomorrow, whenever the sun comes up again, you'll see the amazing flood down there. And sometimes the church of God, it's just like a trickle. And then when God brings revival, there's a flood. But whether it's a trickle or whether it's a flood, faith is faith in God's word and what God has said and what he has revealed. It is a wholehearted, whole-souled commitment of mind, of body, of soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just not a wee decision you take someday, I think I'll be a Christian. It's a whole-souled, wholehearted commitment of body, mind, and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding he died for me on the cross, taking my sin, my Savior and my Lord. Let me ask you as I finish tonight, I'm going to finish a little bit earlier because of the carol singing. Have you taken the plunge? In response to God's prompting, in response to what he has shown you, because Joseph, in the second half of Matthew chapter 1, he took the plunge. God's word told him that his fiancée was pregnant because of the Holy Spirit had been at work. And Joseph, we are told, verse 24, woke up He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Maybe lately someone, you're listening to me, you've been waking up to God's word, waking up to its truthfulness, waking up to its beauty, waking up to its trustworthiness. By naming the child Jesus, Joseph showed he believed. And you know, the sign that you believe is that you call his name Jesus. You call his name Jesus, my Savior. My Savior, my Lord. You take that name upon your lips and you start to walk by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. That's the faith that's being talked about here. That's the faith that is highlighted to us in this opening chapter of Matthew's Gospel. That's the faith. The just shall live by faith, that we're called to live by, through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. I wonder if you got it. And if you've got it, are you living by faith and trusting in the Lord? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this chapter, this opening chapter of Matthew's Gospel, this opening chapter of the New Testament. And we thank you that it does remind us of how the Lord Jesus Christ was born as a human being, but without sin. We thank you, Father, for the genealogy. We thank you for the sinners that he came to save. And we thank you that still today, Jesus Christ receives sinful men and sinful women to bring them back into relationship with you. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, our God, for the amazing salvation that you have purchased for us on the cross. And our God, we pray that you would help us, Lord God, to live by faith in this Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, continue with us in our service. Be with us as we travel out later to the carol singing, and grant us safety, we pray, on the roads, and as we visit in people's homes, maybe be a blessing to them. And our God, we ask you to go with us and hear us as we pray these things, all in Jesus' name. Amen.